More Heart Than Talent Radio.
Jeffrey Combs, to a different place to conduct the Facebook Live today. I see that we are having some technical difficulties, which once again is beyond my challenge, so I will be doing the best I possibly can. So we went offline in my studio. I'm now back in my office on my phone, so back in the game. So that's what you do when you own a business. You adapt and adjust. So welcome, 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 Wojo, Gerardo, Marina, Eric. Topic for today's call is on codependency. This book right here, this book, Codependent No More, groundbreaking book by Melody Beatty. I had the privilege of speaking in Denver, Colorado in 2010, and a man in the audience informed me that Melody Beatty used to write newspaper articles for him. Now, I was so compelled to find out more about Melody after hearing that about him that I went out and Googled her, could not find any videos of her, but found podcasts of her and recordings of her, and was very fascinated with the journey she went through to become clean and sober. She's a fascinating story. If you can, you can find recordings of Melody Beatty online by Googling her. She's an amazing woman. Topic for today's call is codependent recovery. I myself am in recovery of codependence. Now, codependence broken down, Melody breaks down and writes some of the best content I've ever written. So here's the preface to the 1992 edition, and she breaks down what codependence is. So I'm going to paraphrase what her definition and my definition of codependence is. So if you have codependent tendencies, that would be me. I have codependent tendencies. Codependence is not my number one addiction. It is one of the sideline addictions. So my main addiction was alcohol. These are the physical forms how addictions formulate. So I'll break down the emotions that led to my codependence and the events, and you can determine your own. But codependence in a interpretation, codependence in context is enabling, over-obligating, doing more for others than you do for self, and usually driven by guilt. It means you'll do things for others with an expectation that they do not reciprocate, so you can be and stay disappointed. So a classic codependent is typically an chronic over-obligator. This oftentimes becomes mothers, grandmothers, stay-at-home moms, etc., people who slave away, overwhelm themselves. Then there's the other side of codependence. That is the type of person who creates an identity through an addict by fixing an addict up. Now, the roots of codependency come from the events that shape the feelings. If you grew up in an alcoholic home, there's a possibility that you will be codependent. You're definitely going to be an adult child of an alcoholic if you're in an alcoholic home, or an adult child of an addict, ACOA, but codependence can oftentimes bleed into the situation. If you lose your innocence having to take care of a family, a mother, a father, if you have a disabled relative and you become the caretaker, then there's a high probability that will create codependence. If you're the oldest child of 4, 5, or 6 and you have to take the role on of being the parent, etc., or if you're the middle child and you have to raise the next 2 or 3, this can affect your codependence. If you're going to the liquor store, getting cigarettes, doing situations, if you're working and you have to give your money to the family to support the family, there's a high probability that creates codependent tendencies. The more you understand the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, now the separation begins. If you own a business and you find yourself doing more for others, or you find yourself feeling selfish or feeling guilty, or you feel responsible for other people's success and or failure, or you put a lot of pressure on yourself. This is a lot of information at one time. You put a lot of pressure on yourself to take care of everyone. And people say, how do I get my team? How do I get my team to events? Well, you're not a getter. You're not a G-E-T-T-E-R. If you're a business owner, then you're the president and founder, CEO of your own corporation. Now, codependence, codependence is not black and white. This does not mean that you can't, it doesn't mean that you can't be fanfare for the common man or you can't be there for a team, but it's going to be your responsibility to understand what crossing the line means. When you feel responsible for someone else or responsible for other people, or you're trying to control someone's outcome, well, there's a high probability you have codependent tendencies. I was recently coaching someone who was doing marriage counseling and therapy, and they are married to someone who has addiction challenges. And I said to my client, if you don't address the addiction challenges, the marriage counseling is going to have no merit. I mean, you can sit there all day long and talk about getting along, but if you don't address the elephant in the room and then your own codependence to the elephant in the room, then the probability of the marriage ever flourishing or coming together or finding that peace, that love, and that intimacy will be minimized by the fact that there's this elephant in the room called addiction. So oftentimes a codependent finds an addict or rescue to fulfill their own low self-esteem or own feelings. So that will show up in a business. I'll find someone who's disadvantaged. I'll find someone who has no money. I'll find someone who's down on their luck, wrong side of the tracks, and I will get them successful. This is how the ego talks. Now, once again, there's context, because this isn't a black and white world. This is a gray world, and you can be there for people. You can support people. But when you're carrying 50 bricks, you can carry 51, 52, 53, 54. But when you're starting to carry 55 and you're carrying 45 and you're carrying 60 and 70 and 80 and 90, well, that's a recipe for being disappointed, feeling rejected, feeling abandoned, feeling overwhelmed, feeling pissed off, and all the other emotions that go with being let down. And the more you understand that codependency creates disappointment, and this is what often happens, over-obligating, doing too much, not getting the recognition that the codependent feels that they deserve for this Herculean effort they've put into someone. I've poured greatness into you, and you didn't even make it to the event. I once saw a woman who paid for one of her teammates to go to an event, and then the teammate quit the company or quit the business, and my client was very, very upset after all I've done for her. Well, I said, well, you over-obligated yourself to someone who wasn't committed. I mean, that would be rigorous honesty. And the more you understand cause that creates the effect, it means the separation from self. So that's from self, from the events that create your codependence. Now, this is once again, this is evolvement. This is sobriety. This is recovery. Now, this is a chapter I recommend. I have it actually bookmarked. This is a chapter I recommend to every one of my clients. So if you're my client, I'm going to recommend this book to you, Letting Go, this book, Power Versus Force. And I'm going to recommend this book to you, Codependent No More. And right here, chapter 5. See this bookmark? This is a perpetual bookmark for chapter 5. Because I open it and read it. Now, this is a brand new copy of Codependent No More, because I have broken the spine of a couple of them and yellowed them to yellowing. So when a codependent says, I think I'm getting attached to you, look out, he or she probably means it. Most codependents are attached to the people and problems in their environment. By attachment, I don't mean normal feelings of liking people, being concerned about problems, or feeling connected in the world. Attachment is becoming overly involved, sometimes hopelessly entangled. I'll say this one more time. So Melody Beattie writes this right here. I have this highlighted because I've read this a few hundred times. Attachment in codependency means becoming overly involved, sometimes hopelessly entangled. That, my friends, is codependence. Now, if you are on this call and you are in my group Sobriety Consciousness and you've ever attended Al-Anon or CODA, or you're just beginning to start to understand what codependency means, congratulations, because that means that you're stepping out of denial. Now me, I was a superstar kid for my parents. I cleaned their house. I did a lot of situations. My codependence happens in that time frame. I end up attracting a series of weak women throughout my 20s. I'm an addict. They're an addict. Even in my recovery, I will tend to attract broken souls from broken homes with broken bones that I will fix up. I mean, I will say I have a tender heart, I have a soft heart, but what I really mean is I had control issues. I would try and create my esteem through other people's recovery so I could feel better about myself. And so this means that I had a series of dysfunctional intimate relationships. I can say today I'm in the most functional relationship I've ever been in. I'm going to be married on November 30th. I know some of you are going to congratulate me. Thank you. And I once said that I will never remarry. I'll never do that. Well, I am. And so I'm moving further and further along in my codependent recovery. So I have 32 years of drug and alcohol and sex addictions in recovery, but it's codependency that would be the fourth addiction that I am in recovery of. And so there's drugs, alcohol, sex, and then codependency. And I have 10 years in the recovery process of that. So I no longer attract to my reality people who are overwhelmed. I attract to my reality quality, like-minded people that I can be intimate and be connected to. I mean, that's an affirmation I wrote. You can write your own affirmations. Now, let's take a look at what codependency is and what you can do to be and stay in recovery. So as I'm going to just go down the, so I have this sent out to my database. So if you receive this, you can follow along if you like to take notes, etc. But what I'm covering today, what it means to be codependent. Now, this is a loose interpretation. Once again, now you can interpret this however you want to interpret it and then apply it to your own life, because codependency is not black and white. I will still cross the line for people. I will still go beyond the call of duty at times, especially in a win-win situation. But there, I also, in codependency, you want to have boundaries, guidelines, and you want to have clearly defined rules for yourself about codependency, so you don't find yourself saying yes to everyone and then resenting yourself later. Codependents typically have challenges saying, I appreciate the offer, but I'll have to pass on that right now. So when you're able to do this, then you're letting go of your guilt. Codependents typically, their energy is driven by guilt, and they tend to over-obligate themselves. So codependency typically, this is a generality, means over-obligation, enabling, doing more for others than you do for yourself, putting yourself last, and then feeling disappointed when you don't receive the recognition that you feel you deserve for all this effort you put in. And so what many people do, they'll put more effort into others than they would put into building their business. They'll put more effort into service and put more effort into charity and put more effort into other people, which is not necessarily bad. It's not black and white. That's why I say that you have to be able to find the gray in codependence. But what you want to be clear on is how you cross the line and how you get disappointed. So codependence oftentimes leads to resentment, because guilt and resentment oftentimes are like this in your emotional code. Now, this Friday and Saturday, Eric Beteto, good to see you, my brother. This Friday and Saturday, I have the privilege of spending quality time with Kara DeChico Sandre. Kara lives in Long Island. She's flying to Stockton, California, Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. She's speaking twice. She's a NAET practitioner, Nambudrapad Allergy Elimination Technique, and I am in treatment today for that emotion code. So Kara is my practitioner. She assists me with the repressed feelings I still hold on to at 62 years old. So I still have some of these repressed feelings. And some of my feelings are still codependent, over-obligating, doing too much for others, going beyond the call of duty, discounting my services, undercutting my own money. I mean, these are some of the things that I still find myself doing. And so what I've learned to do is not raise my prices, raise my value. So that's what you start to do in recovery of codependence. You start to value yourself. Now, this is in humility, not, hey, I'm valuable. It's not like that. It's like you start to value yourself more and you move out of guilt. So you start to let go of guilt. And then shame are the events that you hold on to, of trauma, sexual abuse, molestation, all the other situations that happen over and over. And my humble apologies, I did, for those of you who just found me back, I got dropped off, so I went down to my other office where I have better service here. For whatever reason, Verizon is doing whatever Verizon is doing, and I'm in the middle right here of delivering. So let's take a look at number two, events that cause rescue behavior. So I myself am a recovering rescuer. Anyone else feel open enough or honest enough? If you're a recovering rescuer, you know, you can let me know here by sending me a message. Wayne Clark, good to see you, my brother. So I'm a recovering rescuer. I will tend to rescue women. I've tended to rescue my friends. There's a couple of my friends' pictures on the wall. I have a friend named Dave. Dave used to steal money from me back in the drug and alcohol days. Dave would steal money from me, and he was so charismatic that I'd go, hey, Dave, if anyone's going to steal money from me, brother, I'm glad it's you. Now, Dave, I must have rescued him numerous times. He would call me up from a payphone in Las Vegas, Nevada, and he'd whisper. So if he was whispering, I know he was using. I was using, he was using. Hey, cuz, can you tighten me up? I'm a little flat right now. Can you go to Western Union and can you spot me 500 or 1,000? Hey, cuz, I'll pay you back. I promised. So being the soft, kind-hearted codependent that I was, I would run right down there and because Dave was tight, he and I were like this. Well, in reality, he and I were addicts. Now, he and I are great friends in today's world. We've since come back together. He's in recovery, I'm in recovery, but he's one of those guys that had that soft heart for. Like, if I tallied up the money he owed me, it would be ding, 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 ding of all the things I've bailed him out and rescued. Now, he's one of at least 50 people. What was I doing? I was trying to buy love. I was using my money to try and seduce people into liking me and loving me. And what I found, when the money was gone, so were they. So in recovery, I still didn't learn that lesson. It was almost 20 years of recovery before I really started to understand the depth of my codependence. So Maureen says, eek, that is me a lot of the time. I can relate to that. So for those of you who are rigorously honest, I mean, I'm being as honest as I am capable with you. I'm a recovering rescuer of weak women, of broken friends, of people that I got good at stop loaning money. What I would do is I would just give people money, and that way when they didn't pay me back, then I wouldn't be pissed off at them. I wouldn't resent them. That's what I do. I solve that problem. I'll just give them money and not loan them. And typically that doesn't happen to me anymore because I have emotional boundaries. So that is no longer me. So as you begin to move into recovery, energy elevates. You change who and what you attract. So you raise your value and you raise your standards. And that's what Matt says. He remembers Dave. So as you raise your value and raise your standards, you tend to change who and what you attract. I mean, that's what consciousness is. That's what understanding is. So if I went to a CODA meeting tonight, an Al-Anon meeting tonight, I would feel right at home. I'd cry. I'd drink the bad coffee. It would taste great in the styrofoam cup with the powdered cream, and it would taste awesome. So I started going to Al-Anon about 10 years ago, and I didn't really understand the depth of it. So I'm a recovering rescuer. I didn't realize that I was. So if you're a recovering rescuer, put your hand up or send me a message here. And like Kathy says, being a nurse 30 years, certainly I was a good rescuer. Now, there are professions we tend to choose that really fit that personality. Healing, therapy. We tend to have soft and kind hearts. You can still be in recovery and have a soft heart and have boundaries. That's what you understand. You don't have to give up being a good person in codependency, but you give up your rescue tendency, so you're disappointed. You give up your over-obligation and you start to have boundaries. Now, over-obligators say, yes, 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 I can do this, I can do this. And a lot of really, now this is a contradiction, skilled codependents. Skilled codependents take on a lot of duties, a lot of obligations. They take on a lot of service and they just compounds and compounds and compounds. And unfortunately, this type of energy creates exhaustion. It exhausts the adrenals. Oh, there's some great comments here. Feel free to comment on this call. Now, this call got cut a little short today. I'm going to go a little long, but I promise I'll come back and I'll do like codependent page 2 here. I'll in the next few weeks, I'll do another call on this, because so many of us, like you become successful and you become a millionaire or a six-figure income earner, and you look around, you have all these freaking broken people hanging around. You go, oh my God, dude, how do I do this? I had someone call me at 10:30 Saturday night, and I'm like, the old me would have stayed on the phone and talked to this person at 10:30. I'm like, yo, chief, I'm on a date, so long. I mean, call me back. I'm not the rescuer that I used to be anymore. Now, I was able to do that, and a little bit of me felt guilty. And my fiance, like, what is he calling you for at 10:30? I mean, because I used to have that kind of business. People could call me because I'm the rescuer. So I'm no longer the mind-body connection to the events. But I must admit, part of me wanted to call him back after my future wife went to sleep. Hey, and that's addict talk. So that means I'm still in that recovery process, and I'll be in the recovery process because recovery is recovery. But I must admit, there was a part of me that felt guilty. And how many of you do that? You say, no, I can't do that. And then you get off the phone and you go, oh, but oh my God. And then you start to doubt yourself. That's not normal. That's the codependent tendencies that we have. I want you to know I still have some of those. Caretaking. I'm a recovering caretaker. Now, caretaking. Now, once again, this is, if you're taking care of your parents, that's you to determine. Are you codependent? Are you being a good son or a good daughter? I mean, you have to understand that. It's not a black and white situation. But if you're running a nursery, if your team, the business you're building, is a nursery, then that's something you want to address. If your team depends on you, then you have a team that's mentor dependent. Now, I was able to separate that in business. I was better in business than I was in my personal life. Oh my God, I'm sweating here. I mean, this is good because this is bringing up some emotions for me about being codependent. Codependency still is within me. I'm candid with you. I'm recovering codependent. I'm not as solid in codependency as I am in alcoholism. Alcoholism, no way, Chief. There is no way that I'll be drinking vodka. Codependency, I still relapse in it, not as much as I used to, but I'm improving. How many of you can be really honest today that you have codependent tendencies that you secretly hide? You don't want people to know how far you go across the line, and then you get disappointed by people. I mean, once you're rigorously honest, and we'll cover this in my next two events, my Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop, we'll cover it, and then Breakthroughs to Success. If you're my coaching client, December Breakthroughs to Success will be a game changer. If you haven't hired me to be your coach, Breakthroughs to Success is a 2.5-day event. So if my coaching is $3,000 for 6 hours, Breakthroughs to Success is free. That event used to cost $1,000, and it is unequivocally worth the $3,000 when you attend. And you will see my clients, they will tell you right here who've attended, they go, oh yes, dude, that event is a game-changing event. And it's not intense, it's deep, but it's definitely an event that really, I'm really very skilled at facilitating that breakthrough process. Now, number five on this, low self-worth, well, that goes with codependency, because in codependency, we tend to create self-confidence out of helping others. Fanfare for the common man. Now, when you pull over on the side of the road and you assist someone that's stranded or has a flat tire or something like that, or someone calls you and asks you to do something and you agree to it within context, that's not codependency. But when your phone rings off the hook or you're chronically worried about how you should be taking care of other people, that's codependence. When you're worried about other people, worried about your team, worried about worrying, when you worry all the time, when you're always worrying, this is codependence. And because that energy is driven by guilt. Now, this call actually could be a whole seminar. I mean, this could be a 3-hour call if I wanted to turn it into that. But low self-worth is created through codependence by rescuing, enabling, over-obligating, and taking care of others. I'm watching the comments. I'm also recovering codependent. I've enjoyed your live talks. Thank you, Darlene. So control the outcome. Another reason that we are codependent is because we want to control the outcome. We want to get people. We want to get people successful. And we say things like, you should join my business, because if you join my business, I'll be your mentor. Well, instead of saying, have you ever considered starting your own business? This is codependent talk. I'll be right over. And so codependent talk is a lot of control talk. It's like we want to control the outcome. And we move these broken people in our house, or we go over and spend a lot of time with them, and we spend time rescuing people. This is what codependence is: enabling, over-obligating, doing more for others. And you have to put asterisks around that. You can still do deeds for others, but it's your responsibility in a gray world to understand the black and white of how you over-obligate yourself. And if you're in an addicted relationship and the two of you are in recovery, then that's part of, you start to understand your roles and how you adapt and adjust in them. So if you're codependent and your significant other is the addict and the two of you are in recovery, then it's going to take this communication to come together so that you can create this collaboration, this intimacy, this love that you know you are capable of. And that's how a relationship flourishes and is in recovery. So if you're in recovery and your significant other is not in recovery, well, that compounds the situation. But you can be in recovery while the other person's figuring theirs out, and you can let go of your codependence, and then you can let the other person do what they have to do without feeling guilty. And I mean, that, just understand that guilt is the number one emotion that drives codependence. You've been guilted by other people into submission, doing things as a child, losing your innocence, and here you are, a grown-up, in codependency. So controlling the outcome is a major component of codependency. Denial of true feelings in dysfunctional situations. So that's what many people do, is they say things like, I had a great childhood. Well, that probably isn't correct if you're a chronic codependent. I mean, when I coach people, I assist them to have a better understanding of the events that shaped the feeling. So many people tell me, I had a great childhood, I had great parents. That's awesome. That's great, but let's do this. Let's break down the timeline, the chronology, the events that happened. And when I do this with people, they oftentimes get this, I had no idea. Well, you couldn't have any idea because you've lived in repressed feelings. Repressed feelings is what keeps you emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that keeps you saying, I don't know, I guess, I probably, sorta, kinda. This is what leads to this. Poor communication skills means that you have challenges confronting the situation. Codependents have challenges confronting the situation because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings. They don't want to be wrong. The codependents definitely have right consciousness. They have to be right. I know the best way. Let me do this for you. Let me take care of this. Let me do this. Let me do this. Let me do this. Let me just build your business for you. Oh, let me just go to your work for you. Now, I grew up with codependency all around me. You can assess that situation yourself. And codependency just gets passed on. It's not in the bloodlines. It's not in the gene pool. I mean, it's so traditionally passed down in families like this, and then it becomes family lore. This is how we operate. This is what we do. We take care of our family. We take care of other ones, and we move people into our house. And I mean, I understand there's context to this, but you want to take a look at it objectively and see how the conditioned behavior has affected you as a codependent, either addicted codependent or codependent tendencies. That's up for you to decide. And a lot of codependency is driven by anger. And anger meaning resentment and anger. And the person who's codependent is angry because they don't get the recognition that they feel they deserve. So I covered about a 10-hour topic in about 30 minutes today, and even had to do a break between the disconnection of Facebook Live here today. Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, bringing you the juice today. Now, if you are on this call and you have not, Jeremy Angle, my brother, good to see you. If you're on this Facebook Live and you have not taken advantage of a free 20-minute coaching session, now is your opportunity. I see many of you here who are followers, friends, good connections, and if you want to take advantage of a free 20-minute coaching call, or you've been a previous client, I still offer that to a previous client, provided you're at least considering rehiring me. You can go right up there in that little box right there, click on it, it's Facebook Messenger, send me your phone number, and I will return it in a very short period of time. Codependent No More, that is the book. Chapter 5, Detachment, a game-changing chapter. Jeffrey Combs, saying you have a great afternoon.